A Presbyterian pastor and his wife decided to get a new dog and hoped to find one that had a Presbyterian upbringing. They visited kennel after kennel and explained their needs, and finally they found a kennel whose owner assured them that he had just the dog they wanted. When he brought the dog out to meet them, he said, "Fetch the Bible," and the dog bounded to the bookshelf, located a Bible, and brought it to the owner. "Now find Psalm 23," he commanded, and the dog leafed through the pages and found Psalm 23 and pointed to it with his paw. The pastor and his wife were so impressed that they decided to buy the dog. Well, that evening, some church members dropped by for a visit, and the pastor and his wife just couldn't wait to show off their new dog. And so after asking him to locate several Bible verses, one of the visitors said, "Wow, can he do regular dog tricks too?" "I don't know," said the pastor. "Let's see." He pointed his finger at the dog and said, "Heel." Well, the dog immediately jumped on a chair, placed one paw on the pastor's forehead, and began to howl. And the pastor looked at his wife in shock and said, "Good Lord, he's Pentecostal." Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and I'm excited to share with you why this day is so significant to us. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit into the world on that first Pentecost. Help us to receive the Spirit again today, just as they did back then. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to ask you a question, and I hope that you will think carefully about it. Here's the question. If we had to eliminate the celebration of either Christmas or Easter or Pentecost, which one would you want to eliminate? Now think about it. Think hard. Take your time. Okay. How many of you would choose Christmas? Okay. How many Easter? Okay, just as I thought. How about Pentecost? Oh, yeah. The answer is simple. If we had to choose, we'd almost all say Pentecost. But that would be a mistake. Without Pentecost, the other two might not be so important. Christ was born to the Virgin Mary on Christmas Eve because of the Holy Spirit. We were born again on Easter morning because of the Holy Spirit. And the church was born in the world because of the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Before Jesus died, he said to the disciples, "Unless I go away," unless I go back to the Father, in other words, "the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Though we often talk about God the Father and God the Son, we sometimes forget about God the Holy Spirit. This is Francis Chan's book entitled Forgotten God. The book is about the importance of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Chan says. "You might think that calling the Holy Spirit the forgotten God is a bit extreme, but from my perspective, the Holy Spirit is tragically neglected and for all practical purposes forgotten. If I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. I know that the body of Christ is vibrant and growing and the Holy Spirit is active on continents like Africa and South America and Asia, but the light of the American church is flickering," says Chan. "The Holy Spirit is absolutely vital to our situation today. Of course, he is always vital, but perhaps especially now more than ever before. After all, if the Holy Spirit moves, nothing can stop him." Francis Chan's prayer is that the Spirit will change us. and produce the same kind of spiritual astonishment and action that people experienced after that first Pentecost. If you look at that Pentecost painting by Jean Restow at the top of your bulletin, you can see what looks like tongues of fire falling on the disciples. Most of us are familiar with what happened that day. Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Spirit, our comforter, our counselor. 10 days after his ascension, the disciples gathered at the temple to celebrate the festival of Pentecost, which is called Shavuot in Hebrew. Shavuot means weeks, and Pentecost is Greek for 50th. Both refer to the celebration of the spring wheat harvest, which occurred 7 weeks and a day, or 50 days after the festival of Passover. By law, all Jewish males were required to attend Pentecost, which made the streets of Jerusalem very crowded with people from distant lands. About 9 in the morning, the Spirit came upon the disciples, and they began to proclaim the good news of Jesus in many different languages. The people were amazed at what was happening. Acts 2:7 describes it this way: utterly amazed, the people asked, "Are not these men Galileans? Then how are they able to speak in our languages?" As the disciples talked about Jesus, people became excited and began responding, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people became believers that day, and the church was born in the world. Just as God had provided the life-giving gift of wheat, God had provided the life-giving gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6 tells us that a crowd came together in bewilderment. Now, the word bewilder means to throw into disorder, to perplex, to confound, to confuse, and stir up. We are a lot like the people who were in that crowd 2,000 years ago. Like them, we are just as bewildered about the Holy Spirit. To most of us, our comforter, our counselor, is mysterious and hard to understand. Since we cannot see or touch Him, it is difficult to know where the Spirit is, what He is doing, and how He is involved in our lives. This makes it easy to forget the Holy Spirit, which we need more than ever. What do we need the Spirit to help us do? Well, like the disciples, we need the Spirit to help us take action and share the good news with all people in word and deed. Erasmus, the famous Renaissance scholar who lived from 1466 to 1536, once told a parable to emphasize how important it is for all Christians to listen to the Spirit and pass on Christ's love and grace to others. The story is about Jesus returning to heaven after his time on earth. When he arrives, angels gather around him in order to learn what happened while he was on earth. And Jesus tells them of his miracles and his teachings and his death on the cross and his resurrection. And when he finishes, Michael, the archangel, asks, "But Jesus, what happens now?" And Jesus says, "Well, I have left behind 11 disciples and several others, and they will declare my message and express my love and build my church." "But," asked Michael, "what if these people do nothing? What then is your other plan?" And Jesus looks at Michael and he says, "I have no other plan, Michael. That's it." What does this story say to us? It says that Jesus is counting on you and me to listen to the Holy Spirit and keep the plan going. And according to Paul in Romans 8, the Spirit will even help us, pray for us, and intercede for us as we seek to do God's will. We all know that former President Jimmy Carter is a terrific Christian servant. He also knows how important it is to listen to the Spirit. In Carter's autobiography, Why Not the Best, he shares how the Spirit revealed something amazing to him. Each year, the congregation of the Plains Baptist Church holds a one-week revival, and during that week, church leaders make visits in Plains and invite people to their services. And as a deacon, Carter always participated. He would visit a few homes, read scripture, have prayer, share his faith, and invite people to come to church. Well, one day, Carter was asked to speak at a church in Preston, Georgia, and his topic was Christian witnessing. As Carter prepared his speech, he decided to use his 14 years of witnessing in the Plains Revival Project as an illustration. He calculated that in all those years of going to Plains and being a part of that, that he had made 140 visits. As Carter continued to work on his speech, he began to reflect on the 1966 governor's election. As he campaigned for the state's highest office, he spent 16 to 18 hours a day visiting with voters and gave speeches to over 300,000 Georgians. Suddenly, the still small voice of the Spirit spoke to him, and he wrote the following words. The comparison struck me. 300,000 visits for myself in 3 months and only 140 visits for God in 14 years. Carter's revelation is a revelation for us as well. We need to listen as the Holy Spirit seeks to melt us, mold us, fill us, and use us to declare Jesus' message, express His love, and build His church right here in Albany, Georgia. On page 97 of Francis Chan's book, Forgotten God, he describes a Korean woman who not only listened to the Holy Spirit, but who took actions that could only be empowered by the Spirit. Her name was Esther Ahn Kim, and when Japan occupied Korea during World War II, they forced Koreans to speak only Japanese, accept new Japanese names, and worship their Japanese sun goddess. As a committed Christian, Esther knew that when she refused to worship their false sun goddess, she would be thrown into prison and tortured. Therefore, relying on the Holy Spirit, she decided to train herself and prepare for what was to come. She began memorizing hymns and over 100 chapters of Scripture. She slept in the cold without a blanket, fasted and prayed constantly, and ate rotten food to prepare for the rotten food she would be given by the Japanese in prison. When Esther was eventually taken to prison, the Holy Spirit gave her strength and used her in countless ways to minister to her guards and to other prisoners. When an insane Chinese woman was brought to the prison, Esther cared for her, even though she was covered with excrement. She kept the woman warm, gave her portions of her food, and told her about Jesus. Eventually, the woman accepted Christ as her Savior and died knowing that she was loved by God. Esther wasn't content to just endure her own suffering. By the power of the Holy Spirit, every day she would pray, "Oh God, who do you want me to love for you today?" For 6 years, the Spirit led her to suffer for Jesus. Thousands, tens of thousands, maybe even millions have been changed for Christ because of Esther's willingness to listen to the Spirit and take action. What about you? Are you willing to listen and take action like Esther Ahn Kim did and the disciples did on that very first Pentecost 2,000 years ago? If so, here's a little good news. Pneuma, the Holy Spirit, our forgotten God, is ready and more than willing to help you. All you have to do is ask. Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Spirit will help you to tell someone about Jesus, invite people to join our mission, bring friends to worship, get engaged, and give generously. All you have to do is ask and then take action. Oh God, who do you want me to love for you today? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.